Nation with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 137. This week I have Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Before you ask, that fire had nothing to do with me. Well, a little bit.
Incriminating evidence, I'm afraid. Mary Lang.
Good morning.
And Robert Haynes.
You got something on your back.
Have I? Yeah, I had a mole removed last week, so it's probably a little crater. Still got a bit of a scorch.
Is that painless?
Still a bit of a scorch mark on it at the moment. I can't see it. Deb said that it looks horrendous. Looks like I've been shot. Anyway, I'm Adam. I'm trying to introduce myself. Be quiet. I'm Adam, and we're waiting for Reese. In the meantime,
let's start the podcast.
Yes, I'm just listening to the noise that's going on in the background.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
What noise? My wife's shouting.
Well, she's shouting, Robert, I don't want to be on the podcast.
Not for me, though. Thank goodness. All
right. Okay, now we're going to be reviewing Fires of Pompeii today.
Watched Up Pompeii instead.
Is there a cow in the room?
No, I watched Up Pompeii.
Good. As I say, we're going to be... my recording line's fallen really far behind again. I hate it when it does that because it means lots of editing. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Fires of Pompeii.
Yeah, but no, I just want to say, right, people are getting the wrong end of the stick in regards to my criticism of the Doctor Who podcast. I don't hate the Doctor Who podcast. I just dislike the sort of biased opinion. Yes, it's the Moffat can do no wrong attitude, really. Because I like Moffat. No, I criticise him when there's little errors and slight sort of annoying little disappointments in, you know, outcomes of stories. But I like Moffat. I think he's really good. He writes some brilliant stuff, excellent dialogue and stuff like that. So, you know, I enjoy it. I would say I slightly prefer the RTD era, but not massively. I'm not saying RTD was absolutely perfect every single time. And we'll come across these episodes as we go through them. But I just hate sort of, oh, Moffat is God. If it weren't for Moffat, the show would be rubbish, blah, blah, blah. But I will tell you, I know a lot of people who tried watching Series 5, gave up, watched Series 5 to the end and said, well, this is not for me. And these are not Doctor Who fans. These are people who are just casual viewers. And casual viewers is something that Doctor Who needs. And I accept that Moffat does write for the fans. And I'm not too sure that is the right way to go because RTD wrote for the fans and for the general public. So,
yeah,
that's just my opinion.
I like that approach.
What, they're writing for the general public?
No, writing for both. Yes. You know what I mean? Like RTD did. Because you need a big audience for the BBC to continue making it.
Well,
that's what happened in the 80s. It became written for the fans, didn't it?
Well, people are getting confused, Robert, because some people still think that Rory was a Auton. People get confused. They think they can't. You know, they forget the org because it wasn't explained properly. The reset at the end of that series which sent them back to the wedding where he's not an Auton, but he still remembers being an Auton. But because he's remembered and he's mentioned the fact he remembers the 2,000 years and being an Auton, people think that he was an Auton, so therefore he cannot die. Now that side of things. Yeah. You know, there's a big confusion amongst people. And these are Doctor Who fans. Some bloke came up to me at a bridal show a couple of weeks ago after, obviously, the last episode went out and was... In fact, two Doctor Who fans came up to me because, obviously, I am who I am and they know I do a podcast. Mm. What's going on there, then? How can he die? He's an Auton. So...
Well, he didn't...
There's confusion there and...
Does that mean there are more than two listeners on the Isle of Wight?
No, they don't actually listen to the show. They just know I produce a podcast about Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Because
I have to concur on all that because just about every New Who fan that I meet, people who really are not that familiar with the classic Who, came into it during the RTD era and, you know, are totally, you know, love Doctor Who. But people that I have tried to get to watch in recent times just are so full of questions and they don't understand what's going on, and so they really have not become fans.
Yeah, I mean that. Yes. I mean, questions aren't a bad thing, but it's confusion. It's confusion which is a problem, I think. You know, confusion to the state of losing interest.
Yeah.
In something.
That's what I run into.
Can I just mention something totally related? It was just I was watching the documentary for the Prometheus Blu-ray disc, and they had Ben Foster directing the orchestra for the music.
For the movie
Prometheus, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He was conducting the orchestra. Yeah, I was watching it. I'm thinking, Ben Foster, he just looked at who?
Yeah.
Right, bear with me. I'm just having a fiddle because I'm going to try and use my iPad as a microphone. Cause
shouldn't you be doing that in private, Adam? Seeing as Reese isn't here yet.
Yeah. That's what she said.
Right. Okay, right. Oops, sorry, my iPad's just come off its stand. Oh, good grief. I'm getting all hot and bothered now. Trying to reconnect its stand.
Did you hear what Matthew Kressel?
No, it's upside down now. Blast!
Mentioned. He's been washing his iPhone.
He's been what? Oh, he's... yeah. Amazing sort of things people do to avoid sending in correspondences and emails.
Not a good thing to do to your iPhone.
No, don't work too good after that. I'm afraid they're not waterproof. Although that's something they could
doesn't work that well either.
Yeah. That's something they could look at making them fairly water resistant, couldn't they?
Well, I didn't see. What did it go through the wash?
No, he dropped it.
Apparently,
he
dropped it in the sink.
Oh.
Yeah, Alicia, Deb did that once when she confiscated Alicia's phone. She put it in the cupboard above the sink. It slept out of the cupboard above the sink, straight into the washing up. There were tears. There were tantrums. There was
rice. Have you buried it in rice?
There was what?
That's a great way to reconstitute your phone or any electronic. Is dismantle it and bury all the parts in rice. That's what we do.
Okay, thank you, Mary. No,
24 hours and you're back. You know, you're right back on.
Well, to complete the sentence, there were tears. There were tantrums. There was anger, there was a new phone, there was expense, there was my bank account going, ouch. So, mind you, we did try to do it for the...
Ouch!
Through the insurance. So, that was the ouch, 100 quid, because obviously the phone...
And they said, do not put your phones near water.
Yeah, that doesn't do much good, to be fair.
No.
Anyway, right, so... yes, we have some correspondences. So I shall turn on my...
Yeah, this does show Ben Foster was the conductor and orchestrator on Prometheus.
Did you hear yourself coming back there?
Who's the composer?
This weird name.
Yeah. Harry Gregson Williams.
No, he didn't do Prometheus. No. It's something like Astin somebody or other.
Astin La Vista.
Like Eastern Europe. No, he's like Eastern European or something. It's a pretty good score, though, for the movie.
Anyway, right then. So, do we want to hear...
That way.
What?
Very that fun. Way. You said anyway. I say that way.
Be quiet. Right, let's have some audio.
That's what she said.
Massages from listeners.
About podcast. This is Ian Kirkilius. Ian Kirk. The Fires of Pompeii by James Moran. There are two references to John Cleese in this episode. In the Tom Baker era story, City of Death, the TARDIS is parked in the art gallery, and the character played by Cleese thinks it is a work of art. In The Fires of Pompeii, Kirkilius makes the same mistake. The Doctor apologises for Donna, saying she is from Barcelona. In Faulty Towers, the character played by Cleese used to say that about Manuel.
That's right.
Both the earthquake in the year 62 and the volcanic eruption of 79 are historic facts. The Missing Planets arc continues. Pyrovilia has vanished this week. Last week it was the adipose breeding planet. I had trouble spotting Karen in her priestess makeup.
What?
No, I didn't.
I found her straight away.
What was that you just said?
Yeah, I didn't understand.
I didn't understand it.
He had trouble spotting Karen in her...
She's all over the place at the very
few. I know, she was the best soothsayer, I think.
Yeah,
she is.
You see. And she's got red hair, the others had black hair.
And she has lines and everything.
Yes, yeah. And her voice is somewhat different.
Same. No, it's quite the same, really.
No, it's the same.
Must be.
It doesn't have her accent.
She's just being serious.
There must be some sort of acting.
I heard.
Speaking of Manuel and from Are You Being Sir, and
Are You Being Sir?
Speaking of Manuel from Are You Being Served and Doctor Who?
40 Towers.
Fawlty Towers.
Oh, sorry.
He was in an Are You Being Served movie, by the way. But anyway, speaking of Fawlty Towers and Manuel, duh.
Okay.
It's what, 5:20 in the morning. I was watching the Flash animation Eighth Doctor version of Shada, and
I already watched the first episode.
Andrew Sachs, who played Manuel, was Skagra.
Oh well, in the audio adventure.
Cool. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, the one that they webisode ones, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, the one that is really difficult to watch because the animation is so horrible.
Oh, that's a very useful bit of information.
It's not that bad.
I appreciate you mentioning that because I was unaware of it.
Yeah, I didn't know it existed.
Did you watch it all, Kirby?
Yes. All, what do you mean you were unaware of it? You've never seen the Eighth Doctor version of Shada?
I've heard it.
I've heard the audio. Big Finish audio of it.
Okay.
Yeah, but I haven't seen it. No.
Okay, yeah, it's the same thing.
It's the same, yeah.
It's just got really bad flash animation.
Yeah, okay.
Like, the mouths don't move. They'll move, like, one arm up and down. And it's very strange.
But is it to the Big Finish audio?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mentioning Big Finish, something that I was unaware of, you can actually buy some in iTunes as well. They've got some of the
Rangers
in iTunes.
They do?
This is what this podcast is all about. Go on.
And wow.
It's not available under audiobooks. It's available under music.
No kidding.
Work that one out. No.
So how did you find it? How do you search for it?
You just search for Doctor Who under music. You know, when it comes up, this audiobook series or whatever seasons, and just go to music, and you'll see some Big Finish ones in there. They don't sort of stand out, but if you know some of the Big Finish range, I think, why aren't they in audiobooks instead of, you know, in music?
Also, the Big Finish podcast will occasionally put out a free episode of something.
Yes, yeah. They did a lot of the...
I didn't know that either. I haven't listened to their podcast.
Oh. Well, there you go. Where's Reese?
You should do.
For goodness sake. Won't he ever turn up on time?
Probably give him another 6 minutes.
Six minutes? That's very precise.
Robert, does it cost about the same to download one of their stories off of iTunes as it does off their site?
I think it's a little bit more. Probably be better off getting from Big Finish themselves.
Okay.
Obviously, because iTunes, they like to take a bigger, big cut of the
money. That would make sense.
Anyway, thanks, Robert, for that.
But just for those, if you
that's a very useful piece of information. I'm glad you mentioned that. Just for some reason, before we move on to the next correspondence, it may have mentioned, if anybody's a member of our 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, might have seen that I mentioned, not on the group, but on my main Facebook sort of timeline, that we had 6,000 listeners in the last month, which is pretty amazing.
Excellent.
I think 100, 100 listeners is amazing enough. So thank you, everybody. Hope you stayed with the show, obviously, while we were in a sort of gap. But the only reason I mention this, because I'm not one for bragging, it's not what a minute for the fun. And,
But
it's just nice to know that, you know, we have some in this. It's a shame that they're all very shy and don't bother sending in much feedback, because a reason I put that on was the fact that somebody at my work who likes to think he's right about everything criticised the fact that I was a Doctor Who podcaster. And if you notice, when I said that, when I published the previous show, he put on it, "Who cares?" Now, and the unfortunate side of that is nobody actually commented beyond the "who cares" bit, so he thinks nobody cares. So if you're friends with me on Facebook, try and find that particular comment about the release of one of our episodes.
I didn't see that.
135 or 136, and sort of back me up a little bit on that one, please. Yes, that's on my timeline. Release of episode, I think it was like 136, I think it was last week, and then I got loads of stick at work because of that. After that, anyway, got some more emails. This is from somebody called...
Oh, I'm going to have to see some of these videos you've been posting.
Yeah, I know, they're good. They're lovely.
2-year-old Alicia.
Yeah, they're lovely.
Yeah.
That's our first family holiday. Well, no, yeah. I did tell her about the first one.
The ring.
Which is, yeah, she was only 2 and a bit. But anyway, two and three quarters.
My girls will not let me just post things without their permission anymore.
I just told her. She said no. She didn't say no. But when I said I'm posting it on YouTube. but it is cute. Even she admits it's a cute thing. And she can't remember it, so she doesn't take any responsibility for it. But that was our first holiday in Blackpool 12 years ago, and of course whether she comes on this one or not depends on her behaviour in the next few days, because her and her mum have fallen out. She's been a bit teenage, so it's been a bit of a pain, but I hope she comes with us because I quite like having her around.
You need to like go to Cardiff on vacation, see all the
I'd like to. Not likely to happen, but I'd like to. What we do have planned is the Beatles Museum, the Trafford Centre, and a couple of other odds and ends, but yeah, I'm just looking forward to the change of scenery, really, and a bit of relaxation. Meanwhile, I have an email here from somebody called Dr. Philip W. Cerner.
Yay!
And he says, and it's forgive me for reading this oddly because I can't really see the screen that well because it's quite small type. He says, I'm greeting Adam and the crew of the SS20MB podcast. I'm writing some feedback as I got frustrated with myself and my cell phone for not sending me the audio I had tried so many weeks. So, no worries. I've cleaned off the droid. Anyway, I will address things rather out of order. My first attempted message was regarding Adam's frustration at the 20 megabyte podcast being lower in the charts while podcasts were putting out shows only while new episodes were airing. Adam, there are many of us who listen to you every week. For me, as soon as I downloaded the show onto my podcatcher anyway, my podcatcher is Dogcatcher on my Android phone, as my iPod Classic now holds my Big Finish collection. After my iPod Touch jumped off the building, a building, creating a paradox, escaping from the Weeping Angels onwards. Trust me, we all want folks to listen to our shows. I finally started to get through my editing backlog for mine, he says. I listen to you exclusively in my car, and if I didn't have you wonderful... hang on, I'm not trying to read this side. If I didn't have you wonderful folks as company for many of my insane drives, I would probably be insane. Well, if anyone thought me sane in the first place. Adam, you, Robert, Rhys, Kirby, Mary and your family keep up the great fun. You are appreciated by many of us, too often silent masses of listeners. Yeah, that kind of eclipsed anything else I felt I wanted to add, but really looking forward to hear all you folks have you say on season 4. Terribly underrated, especially due to the finale and the specials that follow. Keep the blue light shining for us all, guys. Philip, aka Dr. Phil of Adventures in Time, Space and Music. Thank you, Dr. Phil. Lovely to hear from you again.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to bring Rhys in before I read the next one, or before I do the next one, I should say. That's Mr. Rhys Harton. What? What was that? Sorry,
that was very coincidental. What was so coincidental? What, how we were talking about the Beatles last week.
Yes, and I did edit that a bit strangely. I know, but I was getting a bit bored with it. Sorry.
No. I was just going to say that they had that on TV yesterday, and I watched it.
Hello, Reese.
Hello.
Hello.
How
Mr.
are you,
Innuendo? Hey,
Mr.
didn't
Innuendo.
I say 6 minutes?
Yeah, you were exactly right. 6 minutes.
You were talking about Magical Mystery Tour, I take it, Robert, were you?
Yes.
Yeah, I enjoyed that, actually. I really enjoyed it. I didn't think I would.
It's bizarre.
It is bizarre, but and enjoyable. It's like an elongated music video.
I should have taken LSD beforehand.
Oh, for goodness sake. Listeners, this podcast does not advocate the use of mind-changing drugs. On the subject of mind-taking drugs...
I think it is one.
On the subject of mind-changing drugs, there's two things. There's Reese Parton. Hello, Reese.
Hi, Reese.
And there's an audio that's just arrived.
This is the Galactic Exchange. An important announcement. Are you sitting comfortably?
Yes.
Then
yes.
I'll begin. The last communication contained an unauthorized zap. As a result, the Galactic Exchange was raided by the Shadow Proclamation, Health and Safety Division, and shut down. They have now released a statement as follows. No, bo, ho, show, ko, ro, to, so, boko dozo gobo fo pojo, which, translated, means, after extensive investigations, the use of saps has been found to cause only minor side effects, ranging from death to debilitating agony. As a result, the Galactic Exchange has been allowed to start up again and zap as much as it likes. That is the end of the announcement. It's good to be back. You have a message. Connecting you now.
Hi, Louis again. Back at the restaurant at the end of the podcast. I'd like to dedicate this audio feedback to a great gal, the best companion a doctor could ever have. Oh, Amy. Now you're gone. Your story's done and dusted. I'm sat here weeping into my fish fingers and custard. Oh, Amy. I ain't getting over you. Oh, Amy. You were always Rory's main gal. That's why you went and touched that leaping angel. Doctor, you've lost her. I guess you're so sorry. You'll not see Amy again. Not until your 50th anniversary. Oh, Amy. You were the girl who waited. There ain't no getting over you. I've been Louis, the kid from the future. Thank you, and good night.
Your message has ended. Have a nice day.
That was, of course, Jim the Fish.
Yes.
Thank you, Jim the Fish. He says in his email, "Hi, something. The audio feedback returns. It's good to be back. Yeah. Cheers, Jim." Oh, sorry, James, a.k.a. Team Fish. That's lovely, lovely to hear Jim the Fish.
I like the minor effects being death.
Yes.
And the final email is from me, and it's the top 30 Doctor Who podcasts for this week. Number 30 is Be Quiet.
Adam, can that wait? Can that wait? I've only got half an hour.
Well, if Robert shuts up, I can get through this in about a minute. So be quiet. Here we go.
All right.
Number 30, re-entry for The Oncoming Storm. Number 29, a re-entry for Earth Station 1. Number 28, a re-entry for The Cultum Collective. Number 27, a re-entry for Tim's Take On. 26, re-entry, Who Is The Man podcast. Number 28.
Yay!
Wow!
25, re-entry, The Doctor's Companion, 24 up 6, Staggering Stories, 23 up 5, Big Finish Podcast, 22 up 1, Who Review, 21 down 3, Doctor Who After Buzz TV After Show, that's such a mouthful, 20 up 1, The Casterbrus Podcast, and the 19, Non-Mover, Doctor Who Prognosis Negative, 18, Re-entry, A Madman with a Box, 17, Re-entry, The Sciency Wyancy Podcast, number 16, up 4, Doctor Who, Who's He? Number 15, Non-Mover, 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. Number 14, up 2, Crinoid Podcast. Number 13, down 1, Omega Podcast. 12, down 1, Mostly Harmless Cutaway. 11, down 1, Memory Cheats. 10, down 1, The Pharos Project. 9, Re-entry, TARDIS Tavern. 8, down 1, Impossible Cod Podcasts. 7, Re-entry, The Oodcast. 6, up 2, The Flashing Blade. Number 5, up 2, The DWO Who Cast. Number 4, Non-Mover, Tin Dog Podcast. Number 3, Non-Mover, Radio Free Scaro. Number 2, Non-Mover, The Doctor Who Podcast. And a Non-Mover at number 1, Doctor Who Podshock. Right. Onwards to the Pyres of Pompeii. No, it's not. That's not what it's called, is it?
At Pompeii.
Frankie Howard... arrive in his toga. No, sorry, that's a different thing we'll do. So basically, Doctor and Donna arrive in what is a Roman sort of marketplace. And the only thing that disappointed me about this bit of dialogue, because she does rather react like I might have reacted in arriving in such a place, is that she forgot to mention how bad the smell would have been.
Oh, yeah, that would be bad. Yeah.
Obviously the fact
maybe
that
she lives in a bad part of England.
The fact that they wash their clothes in urine would have made it smell particularly bad, but there you go. And it would be quite
educational. And I read somewhere that they're partly using the set from the Rome thing, the HBO series.
Yeah, this is the first time they'd gone out of the country to film an episode.
Yeah,
so they filmed it in Rome.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Cinecittà Film Studios or something. I can't. My Italian is horrible, so.
I do like the use that you know of the TARDIS translator in this particular scene where they use
it. They explained things a lot, didn't they? I mean, if you think about the last episode that we watched the new series.
Yeah, but it's just the fact that
the vase.
I like the gag about the Celts and the Welsh and. That comes a bit later on when they arrive in the house and the bloke says, oh, you're Celts. There's lovely. Yeah,
but that's something that I love that Donna did because I wonder about that too. You know, like if the TARDIS is translating, what if you talk in that language? How does it come across? So I'm so glad they did that.
Hang on. Hang on. Sorry, some messages coming up on Skype.
Yes,
I can hear you. What's his name again? Did you mute yourself by any chance?
No, but apparently my microphone disconnected from Skype for some odd reason.
Oh.
I was trying to say something, but you just kept talking, so...
Was it anything to do with you being in the charts this week?
No.
Okay. anyway, Karen Gillan's in that particular scene. Still looking really nice. So, you know, it's nice to sort of see it apart and then see her... entry into Doctor Who. I knew you'd say that.
Back away slowly.
Maybe the microphone should be turned back off again. Meanwhile, the volcano erupts. That's what she said. Shush, I'm doing innuendo here and you're interrupting it. Yes, go on.
I don't ask people to shush while I do it. That's what she said.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah,
isn't
go on, Robert.
Coincidental in that Amy before she's Amy, stars in an episode with Roman people, and later, what's her name, becomes a Roman.
Very good. Oh, yeah. I've not actually spotted that one.
What's his name? Rory.
Yeah, anyway.
It's like I commented on Facebook last night. I was thinking that... I noticed how much that redheaded soothsayer looks like Amy Pond, so I proposed that the gravestone in the Angels of Manhattan was wrong, and the angels actually sent Amy back to Pompeii,
where
she went mad.
That would be good, wouldn't it? But yeah, I did actually did come to me.
Well,
anyway, you're making me miss part of the story. The fact is that obviously some smoke starts coming out of Vesuvius, and the Doctor decides let's get out of here, and someone sold the TARDIS. Which is,
and it's funny, isn't it funny how they talk with a real English accent, you know, a Cockney sort of thing.
Yeah, well,
TARDIS is translating for the viewers too.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a colloquial thing, isn't it? The TARDIS is colloquialising the character. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Although the whoever did the subtitles made several mistakes.
Yeah, I know. You mentioned this on Facebook, yes. But we're not going to talk about those at the moment. I like the fact that when there's a little rumbling sort of tremor, they all take positions to catch the ornaments.
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't have a chance to check this, but I read someplace that you can watch the scenes where they're catching all the stuff, and then go over and watch the watch Mary Poppins, where the cannon goes off at the beginning of the film at next door to the bank's house, and everything's shaking. That it's an exact copy of catching everything, except there's no piano to stop moving.
So, but is that cannon?
Yeah. I was going to say that. Well, Kirby, is it? Come on, you.
Anyway, the young lady, the daughter, I can't remember her blooming name. God, anyway, she's got a tattoo on her hand of her eye because she's going to be accepted into the Sisterhood of Khan. No, that's a different thing.
It's not the same thing.
Very similar.
Soothsayers?
I don't know. Yeah, something like that. And Donna's sort of having a go at the Doctor because she realises that the Doctor could save everybody in Pompeii. Because by this stage, because they've seen Vesuvius, they realise that they're in Pompeii. And the Doctor's sort of trying to talk his way out of saving everybody and saying it's a fixed point in time and blah, blah, blah. But not Donna's not having it. And they have a little bit of banter, which is...
The character's name was Evelina.
Yes,
and she's the only character that is not out of the Cambridge Latin course. the Cambridge Latin course. Oh, my microphone moved. Cambridge Latin course has a whole section. The very first part of it is the story of Caecilius and Quintus and Metella, and at Pompeii, and Quintus is the only one who survives.
Cool. Thank you for that.
She was
James Moran deliberately did that because he remembered his Latin course.
Brilliant. Meanwhile, I just to say that I like the casting of the sisters because they're all really nice looking. I suppose that balances out the ugliness of the their sort of leader, the Poirival woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Doctor, obviously, he quickly finds the TARDIS because he finds out who the TARDIS was sold to, and he makes very quick friends with the family, but tries again to get away pretty quickly until the bloke who murdered Uther in Merlin turns up. And
Okay. See, I haven't seen Merlin yet. My geek daughter wants me to watch it, but I haven't seen
it. I think you should. Yeah, but it's not really a spoiler that Arthur's going to end up becoming king at some stage, hence the King Arthur. But
are you talking about the stone merchant whose name means right hand stone?
Yeah. Yes, him.
Till Davies?
Yeah. Davies? Yeah. The character's name, his character's name is Lucius Petrus Dextrus. Or cool. Stone nice. Right hand.
Brilliant. Yeah. But I'm saying he's a very good actor.
He is.
He was in Merlin. Sherlock. As I said,
Sherlock. He's the cab driver in the very first episode.
Yeah. Well, he killed Sherlock. Uther.
Well, he's in everything.
He killed Uther. He played
every British drama I see, he's in some way or another.
Who's the actor that played Steptoe in Steptoe and Son? Oh, God, I can't remember his name. He's in Hard Day's Night. Sorry?
That's not Harry H. Corbett. That was the
other one.
I've heard the Steptoe and Son because it influenced a famous 70s sitcom here in the States. But Never actually seen it.
And Ron Reiner did the theme tune too.
Anyway, I'm going to say he played in a drama, BBC 4 drama. He played the older Steptoe, the actor who played him in that drama. Wilfred Bramble. There we go. It came back to me.
I think it's on Wikipedia. It's right in front of my face.
And I didn't use Wikipedia. I just came out of the top of my head. But I think it's the fact that, obviously, Steptoe and Son was made in the 60s, and Wilfred Bramble was gay and obviously trying to hide being gay and have the life of a gay man, but then he was also ashamed of being gay. So it was all that sort of behind-the-scenes side of things. Really, really good drama, that. Moving back to Doctor Who. Anyway, yeah, and he played the part superbly. He's a really, really good actor, this chap.
Oh, he was in Robin of Sherwood. I liked that 1985
The one
version.
With Michael Praed or
I think so,
Jason
yeah.
Connery.
Jason Connery, yeah.
I think Michael
Praed
was better.
Like I said, he's in everything.
Yeah.
Apparently he was in Merlin, too.
Stop shouting!
Yeah, why are you so loud?
No need for that. Anyway, this chap, I quite like the scene when he, they sort of like have a little soothsayer off between each other, don't they? And with facts about the Doctor, and he wins because he's trying to make out that men are more, you know, receptive to things of the future than the women, and he calls him from Gallifrey. But later on, that's one of the women that says he is a Lord of Time, isn't it? I can't remember who it was.
Mm-hmm. Mentioning about Donna having something on her back.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
which links to Turn Left.
It does, but again, that doesn't really matter. But it's important.
I like those little bits, though.
Yeah, they're only subtle, aren't they? You know, that means something, but it doesn't sort of detract from the story too much.
The habit of foreshadowing things, which is what Mary didn't like in The Power of Three.
Mm.
Too much foreshadowing about Donna leaving, and then we had a lot of foreshadowing about Tennant leaving.
Too heavy, though.
Oh, I just didn't like the foreshadowing forever, on and on and on, of Amy leaving. I don't care about foreshadowing in general.
But there wasn't too much foreshadowing in this one. It was just a remark that there was something on her back, but you didn't.
It's the same thing with the planet disappearing as well.
Yeah. Meanwhile, any of these girls, including the daughter. Arms are starting to turn to stone. Now, this obviously reminds me a little bit of the Weeping Angels and blah, 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 but never mind.
Isn't that an ELO song?
What?
Put this ELO song, Turn to Stone, in. This point.
No. could have done that for the Angels, couldn't we? Angel episodes.
Oh, yeah.
The actor that plays the dad, he was in a Torchwood.
Peter Capaldi.
Children of Earth.
He's very naughty.
Yes.
He shouldn't have been allowed to survive because then he goes and murders his family and kills himself.
Yeah, I know. But he's
he's for a long time too.
Again, he's Scottish, but he does a Tennant, doesn't he? He doesn't use his Scottish accent in this.
Does he fry something?
Pardon?
Oh.
Lost me.
Yeah.
Now, there's a scene where the lad, you know, the boy of the family, is sort of like. Who's he taking down? I think it's a doctor. He's taking the doctor to some place. That reminds me of the Tomb Raider, the game Tomb Raider, the scenery.
Yes,
for some reason
I like that.
Yeah. It's very, very.
Oh yeah, maybe good. The second one, maybe.
Maybe, I don't know. I can't remember. It's a long time since I had a go at Tomb Raider, but it did remind me of that. Meanwhile, Donna is sort of getting all friendly with the daughter. I wish I could remember their names. She still hasn't sort of let it out that you know that Vesuvius is going to erupt. But now she does.
I love this conversation with the daughter when Donna asks her, you know, do you get out shopping like TK Maximus?
But anyway, she does try and tell her that Vesuvius is going to erupt, and they won't accept it as. Because they haven't foreseen it for some reason. Because it's not supposed to happen, as we find out later on in the story. So they decide then that she's going to have to be sacrificed. Which again, there's a scene. The sacrifice scene itself reminds me of Mask of Mandragora, although Donna is a lot sort of more braver in the scene than Sarah Jane is.
Yes.
the monster itself, remember they look into the pit and they see the rocky monster thing. It reminds me of a Transformer turned to rock a little bit.
Yes.
Oh, I do like the eyes on the Sisterhood's hand. That was very clever.
Yes.
The Sisterhood what?
On their hands.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Eyes, yeah. They used to communicate with each other.
Meanwhile, the Doctor and...
Magnetitis.
the Doctor and the son sort of decide to run for it because there's lots more tremors and there's a monster appearing in the house.
Wasn't it underground, though?
It was originally, but didn't it come up through some sort of... Not a well, was it? Yes. I don't know. Was it a well?
It came up through the heating... No, it's not a well, it's the heating system.
That's right.
That's right.
Again, consistent with Roman central heating and stuff.
But that's because all these sets are sets from the Rome series, or was it a series or a...
It was a mini series on HBO.
And all the stuff is absolutely authentic.
But what got me was, obviously, it looked quite warm outside, but then it, of course... And I'm not even sure when Pompeii happened, but it, I wouldn't have thought they'd need the central heating on this stage
in
of the
August.
They've got it there because the girl has to absorb the dust.
I'm just being a bit, you know, doesn't matter, does it?
Antic?
Really? Yeah. Gotta be fair. You've got to balance things out.
If you look later on, though, when they're outside of that cave with the big. Stone creature.
Yeah.
You do see when he shouts, his breath is.
That's because they're not really outside the cave; they're inside the cave. That's Clearwell Cave,
and it's in Wales.
Before they go in, though.
Yeah. They show them that there's a special effect there. They are really inside the cave.
There's lots of special effects there
because they were filming in September.
Yeah.
All this was filmed in September 2007.
Yeah.
But those caves, that's the Christmas Invasion, Sycorax Cave, that's the Satan Pit.
I thought maybe that would be so.
Time of Angels Cave, that's all that again.
Anyway, back to the episode while Mary's still here. They just about to sacrifice Donna, whose reaction to being sacrificed is just superb. And the Doctor happens to turn up just at the right moment.
I bet he waited until.
We forgot a bit. Sorry, but the fact that the monster's in there and the Doctor's having a chat with it, and the young Nipper throws a bowl of water over it and kills it.
Yes,
so that's quite funny.
I know. The system is kind of weak.
And he says to the mother about the son, you know, to appreciate her son.
Yeah.
Because they just view him as a layabout, don't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the Doctor gets a good look at the Paravar woman,
Do you notice she looks like those plaster casts they made of the people?
Yes. I did notice that. Very, very good. Because he says something
like, what?
The people are turning to stone before the volcano turns them to stone.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because when they excavated Pompeii, they actually found the shapes of the people as they died.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they made plaster casts.
Which is scary.
Basically, there were voids when they voids in the ash where the bodies were. There was voids in the ash. They filled the voids with plaster and created stone.
So people get a lifelike image of one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Incredible.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, the inside of the Sisterhood's temple there. That's the good old Temple of Peace in Cardiff again.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Doctor is actually threatening the Paravar with a water pistol, which is really good, because when they get away, Donna says to him, you threatened her with a water pistol, oh, I bloody love you, or words to that effect. I can't remember the actual word she used. Yeah.
I love you.
Is that what she said? She used the B word?
Yeah, something along those lines.
Something like that, yeah.
The Doctor's used it.
Oh, yes, true. So,
Notice the sonic screwdriver became a magic
sort of thing? Yes. We've long accepted the magical use of the sonic screwdriver. We can't get away from it, but it's a bit annoying sometimes.
Definitely says, I bloody love you.
Cool.
Yes.
But it's good, though. It works really well. Anyway, so if we go from that sort of comedy scene to that very dramatic scene when she's asking him about, how he knows that it's a fixed point in time, and he says it's the burden of a Time Lord and stuff like that. And then
that's
very soon,
the doctored on a bit too, isn't it?
Yeah. Very soon they end up having a confrontation with the actual giant sort of mother of all monsters, I think. Are they all pyrovars, even the big giant ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they go down into they climb down into the heating
the Satan
thing.
Pit.
Yeah, that's right.
And
the heart of Vesuvius.
As you would.
Hmm.
There's some another strange bit with the subtitles. I hear the doctor making a joke where the last thing he says is Appian Way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do other people hear that? Because
no.
The subtitle says
you're probably right,
says have it your way, which is not
No, the subtitles I'm looking at, which are on Netflix, said Appian Way.
Well, there you go.
Oh, good.
Ah.
Huh. If you take a look at Facebook, I have a screen cap of from the
I saw
DVD
that.
That says "Have it your way," and someone took that and transcribed it into the quotes page on Internet Movie Database as "Have it your way."
Okay.
No,
correct that thing,
just to move on,
they should
think Appian Way is over people's heads.
Indeed, but. Just to move on while Mary's still here, the Doctor does attack the monster with a
thanks,
pistol. But it's around this time that the Doctor realises that the whole of Earth is under threat, and the decision to either just blow up Vesuvius or the whole Earth comes into play, and Donna realises that they haven't really got much choice.
You didn't mention the marble circuits, did you?
Well, I didn't because you lot were talking, but yes, the marble circuits were. Never mind them; it doesn't matter anyway. There were marble circuits.
They
were the marble circuits were the thing that made the Doctor stay behind because obviously the bloke with the stone arm had one, and it interested him.
He had many,
but he had six of them, not just one.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And there was a point in which the Doctor sort of uses sonic screwdriver to knock them all over, and the bloke was sort of quite relieved they weren't broken. He has a decision. Donna understands and realises that they've got to blow up Vesuvius, or the Doctor has got to blow up Vesuvius. And the Doctor sort of realises that it is him that caused it in the first place and is a bit hacked off by the fact that Vesuvius never was supposed to blow up.
And that he's the one.
He's the one who causes it, yeah.
Yeah. I love that scene in the capsule with him and Donna. Yeah.
This is what Davros, one of the main things that Davros is referring to, but he's out of context, really, because the amount of people that would have died, you know, if the Doctor hadn't done it. And of course, then there's an argument that Donna wants the Doctor to save someone because they run through the house into the TARDIS and looks like they're going to leave the family to perish in the. And there's a point also in the town, isn't it, where she goes to grab a child, but the mother says, "Get off, get off!"
Yeah.
Which is quite heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact
that
you can see.
This is where I started to love Donna as a companion. She's just so.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh,
seeing that scenery and the fact that the ash floating in the air. Not ash, I can't remember the color stuff.
What is ash?
Well, yeah, it's got a special name in it. The stuff that looks like snow, it's got a special name.
Some of it's a pyroclastic flow.
Yeah, that's the cloud. But the actual. Doesn't matter. So they get into the TARDIS, and this point
they're
brilliant.
There's that beautiful scene where they're trying to outrun it.
But they get into the TARDIS, and this is the point where it's not fair, says Donna. And, he says he can't save them. And he's asking to save them all, just save someone.
Yeah. Another beautiful scene.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic scene.
And of course, I don't like the Doctor when he's doing that thing out to the TARDIS, holding his hand out. I thought that was a bit gay.
Oh, I can live with that.
Well, that was like him marching. Well, remember in the ship when he says, "I am the Time Lord and I'm from Gallifrey," and all.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's
like
a
that.
Scene like that.
Yeah,
no, I don't like it.
Yeah, I didn't have any problem
with
it at
all. It's in context with it, because that's how it would have seemed to them, I think, as the family. They're just about to die, and they see this door open.
Come with me!
You know, yeah, it's an escape route for them if they from certain death. It's a bit like a god, in a way, isn't it?
He's grabbing out his hand, and Peter Capaldi reaches out and grabs his hand. That's a bit like the Michelangelo's fresco, isn't it, with the touching the hand of God kind of thing.
Yeah, but the fact is that the last thing in the story is where that. Because obviously at the beginning of the story, the Nipper's a little bit, reluctant to sort of to greet the house gods, and of course the Doctor and the Doctor and Donna are house gods after from that moment onwards, and quite understandably so, because they saved him, and he was quite happy to go at the end of the story to, and he's a Doctor himself, although he's denying it. It was quite a nice way to round off the story.
Position of something over here.
Yeah. So they take the family to...
Hello, Clark.
They take a family to a safe distance so they can watch the rest of their people die. I don't know if I'd really want to watch
great,
that.
Great effects work by the mill, though.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Fantastic.
Oh, yes. Yes,
they, I think they outdid themselves in there.
Very and as cool. I said, as I alluded to earlier, we then have is it 6 months later? I can't remember now. And Madonna also says... Doctor also says, Donna, you're right, I need someone.
Yes.
Which was nice as well. Welcome aboard, I think he says to her. Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't give her a key, but he says, welcome aboard. And then, of course, we get 6 months later. And then that's it, basically.
So, since Mary has to go, what did she think of it?
Yes, Mary, what did you think of it?
Well, I was very surprised, because this is one episode that I only saw once, you know, long time ago. And I don't know why I never got back to watching it again. So watching it last night was only the second time. And I was totally pulled in, totally loved the Donna. I loved so many of the scenes between her and the Doctor. And I don't understand myself why I haven't seen it again, you know, in between. So, yeah, total love this episode.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I like about it is because I find Pompeii fascinating. Any archaeological programs about Pompeii, I will watch. Yeah. It was great. That's one of the reasons I'm not saying I wouldn't have liked it if I wasn't interested in Pompeii, because I just thought they captured everything, made it very believable, and they would do the fact that they went there to to film it.
Well, and on that note, I have to say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Goodbye, guys.
So
let us know about Sunday whether we're doing it or not, right?
I'll say see you next time. Just in case.
Okay. All right, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes. Bye. I'll let you have a little chat about it while I put the dog's dinner on.
So what did you think, Kirby?
Oh, I this is one of my favorite episodes. This is great.
Yeah.
It's got the right combination of the humor and the seriousness of the Doctor and the burden of the Time Lord, et cetera.
Yes. Thank you, Kirby. Now, I liked it, but there were moments where I thought it was a bit pantomime-ish when the Doctor and Donna first got to the house and they're all talking and the soothsayer comes in and the music's just all bom ba dum 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 and stuff like that, and it was fun, but I thought they're really laying it on thick with the humour there.
Spartacus.
And so am I.
Yes.
of the sock puppet.
Yes.
The yes, Scottish falsetto sock puppets at Dubious.
Yes, I love them. Have you seen them, Grace?
Once.
So they're on the DVDs. I'm a few DVDs. Very funny. Very funny.
I thought stuff Peter Capaldi was. Sorry. I'm just getting excited about talking about the episode, that's all.
You carry on, Rich.
I thought Peter Capaldi was excellent in that we got to see a humorous side from him in this, and then in Children of Earth we got to see how such a good serious actor he is.
Yeah, just a year later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a completely different hairstyle.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he did
more arrangements of hairstyle.
He's got a proper Roman look about him, though, isn't he?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, boom and the nose. Isn't that right, Magic? By the way, Robert, any misbehaviour, Magic is here.
Oh,
they did homework the way it looks. Just very well done.
Yeah.
Again, like someone said a few minutes ago, the mill just outdid even the monsters are the pyroviles are well done.
I mean, even when you look at the fire, obviously, there wasn't any sort of fire there from the actual thing because it's a creation, but it looks like a real sort of fire, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah, that's good.
Now, some of the filming in Clearwell Caves, they actually had little fire things that they lit on. Which kind of surprises me. In here in the States, if you've got a privately owned cave, like someone could do whatever they want to, but.
Oh, yes, I enjoy it too. I can, it's good. Apart from silly little things like, don't you come with me. I liked that.
It was alright.
Corny.
Mildly corny.
Sonic screwdriver used to undo ropes. I mean, I think that's ridiculous.
Well, that's been used. It's been used to cut through ropes in a certain Cyberman adventure.
What's worse, the whole Doctor Who thing or the holding hands, pulling them up to safety thing? As in saying, Doctor Who, which is worse. I think that's worse.
Actually, they did it. I think RTD does a nice sort of thing with the Doctor Who question in this. Because I can't remember when it was, but somebody was asking, you know, he didn't like ask Doctor Who. I think it was a woman or something when she was around, the wife. But they just sort of put it nicely, like, Doctor, what kind of a doctor are you or something? And rather than, you know, the, as Moffat would use, Doctor Who?
Is that how it would say it? Doctor Who?
Well, you know how they do it in the new series.
Yes.
It drives me crazy. I'm just afraid he's going to come up with some sort of silly actual name.
Well, then the show would be Doctor, whatever that silly actual name is, then.
Anyway, can I just... You just got me thinking about something, so I don't forget. Now, when you talked about of the silly things that might happen when we come up to the 50th anniversary, when River was in The Impossible Astronaut, both her and Amy sort of remarked to being a bit ill at one point. And I remember saying at the time, is River pregnant? Because we don't know what part of River's timeline she's in at that particular time. Does River have a baby? And is that baby Susan? And does the Doctor take that baby back to the first Doctor so his Doctor can look after it? Maybe. Or maybe not. But it's the sort of thing that I wouldn't put past Moffat.
It's a daughter, not granddaughter then.
No, I know, but he wouldn't say, oh, my younger self, this is your daughter, would he? If he was handing over a baby or whatever.
A bit like you say, your friends and the family are your uncles and aunties, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that sort of thing. I wonder if Moffat would do that as a sort of big tie-in between now and then.
I thought the feeling ill was to do with the silence, because even when Rory saw them and forgot them, he kind of shook his head a bit, as if to clear it. So I thought it was just part of the feeling.
Had a funny feeling that's what you were supposed to think, because obviously Amy was feeling sick and she was pregnant
Moffat,
then. She wasn't. Never known her.
Yes.
True.
He put that bit in there, but that was the only time she felt a bit queasy around the silence. You know, I'm thinking, could she have been? It wouldn't be, say, you know, it's impossible for River not to be pregnant somewhere a long time. And the only person she's going to be pregnant by, really, is going to be you know who. Yes, Voldemort. No,
Rory.
Sorry, the Doctor. Rory. What's this incest? God's sake.
Yeah, Robert. Came by Parker Brothers.
The 20 megawatt incest podcast.
And the whole family can play.
Grief. Anyway, it's a pretty good episode, this one. I must admit, I really enjoyed watching it back.
And, you know, you said last week, you're talking about this is one of your favourite seasons.
Yes.
Or series.
Yes.
I'm beginning to feel like that as well, just after watching these two episodes. And I'm a bit like Mary. I think I've only watched this episode twice, once when it was transmitted, and then again when the DVD box that came out, and I watched with the commentary. I enjoy the chance to go through these things and reappraise.
I think the main thing is it's nice to have the Doctor have a sort of proper friendly relationship with his companion,
Sarah
and Jane.
If you look at the list of all the stories in Series 4, they're all really good. There's only one that's kind of a dud, and even for that one, I've not had a real problem.
Unicorn and the Wasp.
Unicorn and the Wasp.
That's a dud.
Oh, I like that one.
Not for me.
Right.
It's if you go out there and say the Doctor Who podcast, it's the sort of thing that a lot of people don't like that particular episode for some reason.
Oops, my microphone's going to be back again.
Yeah.
Yeah, my microphone. Well, I need a new microphone.
Well, I think the one that people mainly regard as a dud is the last two episodes of the series. To be fair, and I think that's totally unfair because I absolutely love the last two episodes.
Oh, the Stolen Earth Journeys. I like those.
Yeah,
those two. Yes.
Yeah, I don't mind. It's a bit self-indulgent.
That is daft, but I think it's done dafter things since.
Yes. Well, as I said in my latest episode. It just depends how these daft things are done, because there are some plot holes in Time of Angel, not Time of Angels, The Angel State Manhattan.
Yes.
And I picked on them and I didn't like them, but I love the Earth being dragged back into place because there are so many previous companions and friends of the Doctor in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
And there's a beautiful piece of music going. I love that as a fan of the show.
It's very romantic, isn't it, on the whole?
Well, didn't they just have a dematerialization of the Earth and then it materialized in place?
It was indulgent. It was okay. But what got me thinking was that if it had been in the future, whether Captain Kirk would have noticed Spock would have been looking on his scissors. Affirmative, Captain. It appears the Earth has been dragged away from its solar system.
How is that possible?
Adam,
yes?
Was there anything on the news regarding two people from Denmark getting married dressed as Klingons?
Not yet. We'll come to that in a minute. But we were just doing our Spock and Kirk impressions, and you interrupted them.
Adam.
This is called a kiss.
There is an official.
Now you felt that way.
William Shatner day.
When is it, Kirby?
Let me find it.
Kirby?
And good.
And I actually did that at work on that day, and had.
Didn't get any of that. Everybody's talking over each other. Sorry.
Shatner doing his own podcast. It'd be hours long.
Yes.
Well, funny to say about William Shatner, Dave Simon, who runs the Who Blackpool shop, which we're going to be seeing next week. He's very good at posting pictures of him with himself with iconic people from the worlds of sci-fi. He's done all the Doctors. He's had his picture taken with all the living Doctors. Plus, this week he posted a picture of himself with William Shatner.
So what I'm going to do when I go up to
Blackpool is have my picture taken with him. Stop interrupting. Magic!
No, I just wanted to make sure, when you go there, can you video?
Video what?
The shop.
Well, you don't.
No, because he states you're not allowed to take cameras or video into the shop.
Could you ask him?
If he's not going to allow other people to do it, I think that would be a bit unfair.
Can you do an interview with him?
I've done
one.
I have done an interview.
Another one. I know.
He's very shy. Yes, I don't think he'll do one. Another interview. I don't want to, when I go into his shop, I don't want him to look. Oh no, it's that bloke with the microphone again. He didn't feel very comfortable with the microphone in front of him. But I will be going to see him and his shop. I'm looking forward to it. He's only ever listened to one episode of this podcast, and that was the one he was on. Mm. And that made him decide he's not going to do another interview. Anyway, what were we talking about before?
I was just going to finish up my thoughts on the Fires of Pompeii.
You were?
Yes, I was. Well, I'd like to.
Well, get on with it then.
I'd seen this one about four times all up, and the last time before watching it again for the podcast, I watched it with my nephew when he was here a few months ago, and he was just... he's seven now, but he was six at the time. Okay. And he was just enthralled.
It would have been backwards if he'd been eight at the time, and now he's seven.
Yes, that's why I didn't say that, Kirby. Yeah. he was enthralled by it, and we got to teach him a little bit about Pompeii, and he seemed very interested in it. And it's just for about five of these episodes, I got to watch them with him. No, actually six, all the way up to the Doctor's daughter, and it's just great watching Doctor Who with a younger audience member with you, and seeing it through the eyes of a child.
Obviously, this episode reminds me also of one of my favourite sort of new novelisations or new novels that has been released. I actually listened to it as an audio. It's a book called The Stone Rose. absolutely love that.
I've heard of it.
It's hmm.
What's it about?
Isn't that well, is it, when you say new novel? That's
it's, a,
saying
it's a novel
new,
set.
New.
No, it's a novel about the new series.
No, that's the, think about the origin of the word novel. It means new. So you said new,
God's
new.
For God's sake, all right. Yes. But anyway, no, it's very good. Yeah. Stone Rose. Can't remember who wrote it, but it's. I've listened to the audiobook of it. It is also available as a book, as a. And yes. I think you can get it. You can download it as well. But
is
I
really,
it's basically. I'll tell you what it's about. It's about basically the Doctor and Rose. Because obviously it was read by David Tennant, so he does it in his Scottish accent. Doctor and Rose go to a museum with Mickey, and I say Tennant does the voices superbly, the characterisations of the voices of Rose and Mickey. Goes to a museum, sees a statue is of Rose, so he says, hang on, this is an old Roman statue, why does it look like Rose? So they go back in time to Roman times and try and discover why there's a Roman statue of Rose in this museum, and that obviously the story then unfolds. It's a brilliant story, really, really good. Highly recommended. The Story of Rose, as Tennant calls it. Okay, anybody else on the Fires of Pompeii?
Yeah, I think good.
Apparently not.
Good, it's good.
It was
excellent.
Good.
It is good, right?
It was.
News.
Yes.
This is
I'm
news.
Hang on. The others.
I can smell something coming from the kitchen, so I better check on the dog's dinner. Back a sec.
Oh, that was always the dogs, isn't it? Oh, yeah. I've got the Stone Rose by Jackie Rayner.
Stone Rose?
Yeah, I'll have to listen to that then. I've got a lot that I need to listen to. Never get the chance to.
It was my nose playing tricks on me. Right, the news then, we have the Doctor Who Project, the multiple award-winning Canadian Doctor Who fan fiction series, has just released the latest series of stories. Don't know what that means. Season 38, it says, is the latest in the continuing adventures of an...
Adam, did you have to start him up?
alternate Doctor and his companions.
Yes.
Sorry.
Sounds very good. Doctor Who magazine, which is out tomorrow and Thursday, the 18th of October, has a picture of some very
Thursday?
Beautiful redhead lady. What?
It's tomorrow Thursday? What?
Well, if you listen, instead of interrupting, if you listen to what I was saying instead of interrupting, you would have heard me saying Thursday, the 18th of October.
Yes, I did hear that, and I'm thinking...
No, you didn't. You were saying tomorrow, blah, 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 blah. And you know clearly that isn't tomorrow, because it was the 18th of October. Today, Robert, is the 22nd of October.
Except in Australia or something.
No, it's still the 22nd.
Who knows what year it is there?
As I was trying to say, it's got a picture of a very beautiful redhead lady on the cover. I'm not going to say what's
the Prime Minister of Australia.
No, I'm not going to say that, because Doctor Who magazine seemed to be only interested in promoting... certain other podcasts. Mary Tam, Phantom Publishing, has announced the publication of the second part of the actress Mary Tam's autobiography, Second Generation.
What was it called? The first? Oh, yeah, it's called The First Generation, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes.
First one.
There we go. Big Finish Unit Dominion, which is later this month, Big Finish release. Doctor Who Unit Dominion, a epic five-disc box set that reunites the Seventh Doctor, Sylvester McCoy, with his cat burglar companion, Rain, is it Rain Creevy? Played by Beth Chalmers. In a fight to save the universe, joining the fray are Dr. Elizabeth Klein, Tracy Charles. Now, Tracy Charles actually was in Fires of Pompeii.
She was.
So isn't that interesting? And scientific advisor to UNIT, and a future incarnation of the Doctor, played by Alex McQueen. There we go. Okay.
That is not canon, though.
Okay, thank you. It's canon in the world of Big Finish. Okay. Legacy of January. Legacy box has now been confirmed.
Well, I'm going to try to start getting some Big Finish. I mean, I've heard three of them, and I like them. It's just I don't have.
Oh, I was a bit disappointed with the one I got. Yes. Where, you know, the
Destination Never.
Yeah, only because it was a two-parter. It was very short.
Yes.
I liked Ropophobia a lot.
Oh, that was good, yeah. Brilliant.
Yes,
I mean, I think I've been longer. I mean, I don't normally moan about things being too short, but I spent quite a lot of money on a CD of a story and find it's only a two-part story. It's only 50 minutes long. I'm just a bit slightly disappointed, you know.
I think some of them are longer. I can't...
Well, they are. Most of them are four episodes. But this one's just two parts.
Yeah, the new Doctor.
Yeah. So I thought, I didn't think I got value for money for that. But I thought eventually he did actually start sounding like the Doctor. I think it took a bit of time for him to get into the part, or back into the part,
yes,
I should say.
Yes.
But it was all right. Okay, it's just when it was over before it began, really. Anyway, the Legacy Box. Indeed. The Legacy Box has now been confirmed to be the first DVD release for 2013, coming out in the UK on the 7th of January. And
what's
in North
the
America.
One in that? Is that the Shada one? The one with Shada?
I'm just continuing to read on the 8th.
Yes,
it's features include documentary about troubled history of Shada's production, taking out time now and then, blah blah blah. Yeah, so looking forward to that. Oh my god,
I started watching the Flash animation Shada, obviously. What's I started the watching the. The videotape, the Tom Baker version.
Ah, yes. It's a bit weird, isn't it? The way he's addressing it, he's sort of not—he's not the character. He says the Doctor or something.
It's a little strange, but I actually like that version. Seeing it better than the Eighth Doctor one because it is obviously much more connected with.
Yes.
With Douglas Adams and
it's a bit funny the way they're retro. Doing it, isn't it?
It matches up with the novelization, etc.
Have you read the novelization yet?
Yeah. I checked. You
what
haven't
did
been
you
following
think?
My. I liked it.
Oh, good.
I checked it out of the library. You haven't been following my Facebook.
No, I haven't. I've been busy. Oh. I look forward to reading it.
Yeah, it's way too expensive for me to buy.
Back again.
I know. It's
like $25 or something.
On the subject
like
of Shada,
500 pages, though.
On the subject of Shada, I was supposed to lend Alistair Pearson, my recording, the DVD of my video of Shada, for some reason or other.
Yeah.
I never got around to doing it.
While you were away, I was just saying, I've been watching my... recording of the VHS of that.
Yeah.
The Tom Baker version.
Yeah. It's good enough. I quite enjoy that.
Yeah, I just finished the second episode last night. I like it.
It's such a shame that it wasn't finished, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think what are they going to do with it? Are they going to animate the missing bits, or what? What have they done with it?
But did you see Ian Levine's Flash animation? It looked pretty good.
No, I haven't, no. Oh, okay.
I didn't think that had been released for consumption.
No. I just saw a short clip of the creature. What's it called? The Krags or whatever.
Yeah, Krag, yeah. Moving on to more news. Yes.
Can you fill me in? What's the DVD release?
I've been tempted on many occasions, but my arm can't stretch around the world, unfortunately.
What's the DVD release at? The Ambassadors of Death.
Have a look at the whoone.co.uk website in a minute, and then I'll be able to tell you. Anyway, meanwhile, Airlock is going to be released in March. It's as reported by Dan Hall at Recon last month. The new issue of Doctor Who Magazine has a summary of the DVD schedule for the beginning of 2013, which includes the announcement that the recently recovered and restored third episode of the William Hartnell story Galaxy 4, Airlock, will be released as a bonus episode on the special edition version of Season 1.
Called Seasons back then. It's only series with the reboot.
They always have been.
Right,
I'm going to get cross now. So I'm just throwing my toys out the pram. Anyway, okay.
Season 1 was 1963, and you had season all the way through to season 26, and then the TV movie, and then it, Ninth Doctor was series 1.
No.
God.
It was season 27.
Excuse me, why did the Radio Times always say new series when a series of Doctor Who began then, if it was... That's just in the 70s and 80s when I used to watch Doctor Who. We should say new series. Anyway, can I go back to what I was saying? Oh, hasn't Robert gone quiet? Oh, well, that is lovely.
I think you blew out your microphone and yelled at
them. Lovely. Anyway, as I was saying, yeah, the William Hartnell story, Galaxy 4, and it will be released as a bonus.
I'm going to have to go and buy the Aztecs again.
Yeah, but it's worth it. It's worth buying it just for that. Anyway, other releases lined up. This is answering the question that was previously posed to me. Other releases lined up for the first quarter include the previously, the previously reported Legacy Box on the 7th of January, the animation-enhanced Reign of Terror on the 28th of January, I'm looking forward to that, special edition version of The Ark in Space on the 18th of February, not looking forward to that, and the above-mentioned special edition of Aztecs on the 11th of March. No features for the DVDs have been announced at present. In addition...
except for the airlock. That's a feature on the the Aztec.
Okay. And now the dog's barking. In addition, the last intact story of the range, Terror of the Zygons, has been announced for June. Isn't it a little bit quiet?
I think that's a long way away. No, I think that's ridiculous.
I think you sound like you're a long way away at the moment.
I don't understand why they took so long, because Terror of the Zygons is they should have just put off something like there were some much worse ones. They could have just hey, I actually got Horns and Diamond.
Yeah,
I remember that one as a from when I first saw it, and I liked it then. It's horrible, but
I think they're going to they are going to release Horns and Diamond basically because they've got plenty of people that can talk about it as in regards to how bad it's supposed to be. Anyway, that's Terror of the Zygons announced for June. Mind of Evil undergoing colour restoration. Features for the final Tom Baker release were unexpectedly revealed by BBFC back in July. Finally, DWM also revealed that John Pertwee's inaugural story, Spearhead from Space, is to be released again, yet again, in June.
That's ridiculous.
This time taking advantage of the classic series story's unique film recorded to produce a high-definition Blu-ray presentation. There we go. That'd be quite interesting.
So it's going to be a Blu-ray release.
That would be good, actually. I haven't got a Blu-ray player yet, but I've seen Blu-ray players, and what they can do to DVD is amazing. And they've announced that the Christmas special for Doctor Who will be on Christmas Day.
No.
Fancy that.
Madness
is this. Who would have thought that?
The funny thing is, of course, that other Christmas specials of other programmes aren't necessarily on Christmas Day. Will you stop flapping your ears?
Sorry.
It says, it might seem enshrined in tradition, but the Christmas special is seldom confirmed to be on Christmas Day itself until just a few weeks before broadcast. This year, however, the BBC announced some 10 weeks in advance that Doctor Who will indeed feature in the lineup for the festive evening, which it hopes will help settle the audience in front of BBC One with their turkey sandwiches for the duration. The time of the episode has yet to be announced, but will slot into the usual late afternoon / early evening lineup, which this year includes the Pixar Oscar-winning film Up, which I love, as well as the usual... Pardon?
I've got that in Blu-ray.
As well as the usual instalment of Wolford Mayhem in EastEnders. The prime time...
And what was Brave like, Kirby?
Brave was excellent. I loved it. I finally saw it at the $2 theatre on Saturday.
I look forward to it when that comes on Blu-ray.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who. The prime time, 9 p.m. slot...
6 years ago today, the first episode of Torchwood, day one, was broadcast.
Where's the time gone, though?
Yeah, it is a bit.
It's just gone by so fast.
The older you get, the quicker it goes past. Anyway, the prime time...
Well, here's what's really bad, is that episode 4 of The Invisible Enemy was... broadcasts on 1977 on this day.
Okay, thank you. The prime time 9 p.m. slot this year.
I wasn't watching Doctor Who.
God's sake! Magic! Where is he?
No!
Where is he gone? He's never around you and you need him. Magic! God's sake. So where do I get up? So the primetime 9 p.m. slot this year falls to the popular news series Call the Midwife, fantastic series, which is expected to go head-to-head with the ratings winner of last Christmas down...
Now.
What? Am I ever going to finish this paragraph? DVD of what?
What? of Call the Midwife.
Yeah, it's a brilliant series. Edgeworth, with ratings winner of last Christmas, ITV1's Downton Abbey, the main evening viewing on BBC One is rounded off with the Royal Family. I wonder if that's a new Royal Family or an old one, probably an old one. As the as-yet-untitled hour-long special set in Victorian times will be Matt Smith's third Christmas outing and sees the debut, well, not quite the debut, of Jenna Louise Coleman as the new regular co-star. The episode also guest stars Richard E. Grant, or Dickie Grant, as I like to call him. Dickie E. Grant. In addition, the episode will see the return of several of the Doctor's compatriots from last year's Good Man Goes to War, with Niamh McIntosh, Katrine Stewart, and Dan Starkey comprising their roles of Vastra,
Potato
Head, and Strax, respectively. Yes. The episode was written by Stephen Moffat, surprise, surprise, and directed by Saul Metstein.
Who
did Metstein? So
it's just called Metstein. Mercy and
Spaceship.
Yes.
He did Dancers
and I like him.
Yeah. Yes.
I think he did, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I think he did.
Winter releases are Audio Go, See the City of Death, and Snakebite. And a DVD update, Series 7, Part 1. The first part of Series 7 is due to be released in the UK on the 29th of October and will come in two flavours. Both versions feature the five episodes shown so far. That's Asylum of the Daleks,
Did you miss the running order of the writers for the next eight episodes?
Not yet, but you'll tell me about them. I'm just going to continue with this bit, and then we can move on to that. Where do I get up to? Daleks Take Manhattan to Angels Take... No, that was your fault. Asylum of the Daleks to the Angels Take Manhattan. The UK miniseries Pond Life. Oh, there you go. So you get Pond Life on it. That's quite good, isn't it? Yes, it is. Shut up. And also the two special prequels that were originally exclusive to iTunes. So even better. Asylum of the Daleks, the Doctor receives a message. We know this. Why are you giving us stupid one-line synopsises? In addition...
You didn't have to read it.
Huh?
Didn't have to read it.
In addition, a limited edition Weeping Angels release also contains the documentary Science of Doctor Who, where it delves into whether the scientific concepts of the series live up to reality. Why are you talking
about it? I did not
over?
Like that special. That was,
why
that,
am I being
that special
about?
Was kind of boring.
I didn't see it. So yeah, both...
it was shown here on BBC America.
They're both standard DVD Blu-ray and limited edition DVD Blu-ray versions are available.
Now, the Doctor Who in America was pretty good.
Right, and somebody was saying about the order of... Oh, here we are. It's about the writers, is it, for the next few episodes where we got...
And Neil Gaiman has definitely been shown to be a writer for the next...
What you're alluding to, it says the latest issue that says summarises that we expect running order of the remaining eight episodes of the current series to be broadcast in 2013, and also confirmed that fantasy author Neil Gaiman, who suggested he was writing a script last month, it has indeed done so. And it says Stephen Moffat, Neil Cross, Mark Gatiss, Steve Thompson, Mark Gatiss again, Neil Gaiman, and Stephen Moffat.
Never heard of them.
The directors?
I'm not interested in the directors. But it does state... the directors. Okay, then the first Moffat story, Colin McCarthy. Neil Cross story. Colm McCarthy. The Neil Cross
did you
story.
Did that deliberately?
What?
I think the other two did that deliberately so that you'd read it and they could correct you.
Probably. The second episode, Neil Cross, is Farron Blackburn.
Et cetera.
Third episode, Mark Gatiss, Douglas McKinnon, and that's the one with David Warner and Liam Cunningham in. The fourth episode, Neil Cross, directed by Jamie Payne, and that's got Dougray Scott and Jessica Ray. Now, Dougray Scott, of course, was in Desperate Housewives. Thank you for that. The fifth episode is Steve Thompson. The director will be Matt King, and that's got Ashley Waters in it. The sixth episode, Mark Gatiss, that's directed by Saul Metstein, is it? Metstein?
Yes.
That's the one with Diana Rigg and her daughter Rachel Sterling in. The seventh episode, Neil Gaiman's one, is directed by Stephen Wolfenden. And 2BC is directing the final episode.
I like 2BC, he does good Yeah. Directing jobs.
Yes,
indeed he does. And that concludes the news. Anybody else got anything to say in regards to any news that may or may not have been mentioned in the
Wizard vs. Aliens?
Eh?
Wizard vs. Aliens.
Oh, yeah, that's coming on soon, isn't it? Yeah.
In, huh?
Yes, I'm just confirming you're correct. Wizard vs. Aliens is beginning very, very soon. Whether I watch it or not.
Next week.
I don't know.
Yeah, next week.
What? I'm watching it next week, whether I like it or not.
No, it's going to be on the 27th. That's this week.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'll bother watching that. I think Isabella might do.
I'll at least try.
I don't know if I've got time. I am enjoying the current series of Merlin, though, I have to say. It's very, very good.
What's the next DVD release?
Of what?
Doctor
Who.
After Ambassadors of Death.
Oh, well, I'm just going to whowon.co.uk if you just give me a few moments to type in.
I'm already there. Yeah.
Well, I've got...
I'm already there.
You've
got... a bit of news that Paul Cornell and his wife have become parents yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, someone posted that on Facebook.
Yeah, that was that was Reese Parton.
I know.
Not everyone who listens is on there.
Yes. By the way, talking of Reese Parton, he does his podcast, listeners, called the Who Is the Man podcast. He wants some listeners. Or I'll rephrase this. He wants some more listeners. So tune in. Who Is the Man podcast. Very good, actually. It pains me to say. Anyway, right, and on some of his podcasts, you actually get to see what he looks like. I perhaps think maybe those are ones you shouldn't be. I'm only joking. yeah, whowon.co.uk. The 2013 calendar is available at $7.99. And Lunch Bag, $9.95. Pirate Planet CD. Which is obviously a soundtrack thing from Pirate Planet, one of my favourite Doctor Who stories. Yeah, I know I did. I'm allowed to mention it twice. It's not against the rules, you know.
I'm just saying.
yeah, there's not much that's different from last week. Obviously, that doctrinary is still there, but the 2013 calendar is the newest thing on the list. So if you want to go to www.who... We are interrupting the web address. Magic! Magic! Magic!
I was going to mention... I was at the shops today and I saw a 2013 Doctor Who diary.
Did you?
Yes.
Cool, thank you.
Does it look like Rivers?
Yeah, it doesn't look like Rivers.
Well, it's TARDIS blue and it's got a TARDIS thing on the front.
In that case, it does look a bit like Rivers.
It's quite similar. It's quite similar, yes.
Yes. Have a look at www.whoone.co.uk. Our illustrious sponsors.
Would that be whoone.co.uk?
Kirby, that's what I said. My wife says she went to the dentist, right? The dentist said, "Are you suffering stress? It's showing up in your teeth." And since then, she's gone on and on about the fact that even the dentist was able to spot that she was under stress because of the stress. Well, I'm under stress with you lot, and it didn't show up in my teeth. So that's, I don't know what she's going on about. I think that's just women's solidarity. She's a woman dentist, by the way. Oh, you're showing stress in your teeth. So now my wife will not stop going on about it, blaming us when every time she gets a little bit stressed out. You're showing in my teeth. Anyway, right, so the eBay, yes, the top item.
Back to the question that was it Reese that you had?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm trying to dodge it.
DVDs would be Series 7.
I know what it is, Claws of Axos.
Claws of Oxos? Axos. I don't know.
It's got Doctor Who DVDs just in. It's got Claws of Axos Special Edition.
Sorry, yes, now, I forgot to look. I apologize.
The next DVD I have budgeted for myself is The Demon.
Oh, well done. Well done.
Yes.
You'll enjoy it.
Hopefully I'll get it in the next week or two.
Yeah, excellent. Okay. Moving on.
Yeah, so Ambassadors of Death as well. That's well worth getting as well.
It is.
Well, I agree, but everyone's been saying how good The Demons is, and I liked the novelization that I read ages and ages ago, so I'm getting
some people
The Demons.
Say it's the quintessential Pertwee story, don't they?
Yeah. eBay. Right. The item that's most expensive on eBay, same as last week, the full-size Dalek, no bids, £2,700, even though it's a very nice one. Very nice.
I would love it.
So would I. Still haven't won the lottery yet. Still haven't bought it. So that's the most expensively listed item, but this most expensive item with bids against it is very nice. It's actually got a buy it now price of £2,500. However, it's it's also got four bids against it. It's currently running at £1,019. It's the 11th Doctor's Sonic Screwdriver Artisan Master Series. I'm going to click on that to see exactly. It's a screwdriver mounted on a plinth, and it says this Sonic screwdriver is number 2 of an edition of 25, so it's a very, very limited edition. However, it does look like an ordinary plastic version of Matt Smith's Sonic screwdriver. Very rare opportunity to own number 2 of a very limited edition of 25, the prop replica built by Nick Rabatto, who design and builds the Sonic... Oh, I'm wrong then, because obviously it's one like the one Matt Smith uses. Design and builds the Sonics used in the TV series comes in a presentation.
But Adam, yes? Do you remember, though, the ninth of this Sonic screwdriver apparently kept on breaking quite often?
No, I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, if you'd watched the DVDs, you would... Yeah, so...
All right.
The actual props themselves tended to be a bit flimsy.
Well, I do apologise.
Sometimes I think the toys are actually better made than the...
Yeah, you're probably right. Props. Although, when I went to Blackpool last year, I acquired myself a Ninth Doctor Sonic screwdriver, which has since disappeared.
There comes the...
Post is here.
Bit delayed reaction magic. I told you to get him about 10 minutes ago. God's sake. And that you're flapping your ears will not have any effect. He lives in Australia, for God's sake. Anyway, right, the aquariums that I was talking about last week, surprise, surprise, nobody actually put in a bid for those. The second item, Doctor Who pinball machine, currently running at £700 with 8 bids against it. One as last week, as I said before. And the final item, full-size replica of Cyberman helmet from The Invasion, which is not from The Invasion. It's £470, 28 bids.
That'd be nice. I'd love all stuff like this if I had them.
Got a bit of a light in it. I see what it says. This is a full-size replica Cyberman helmet from the 1968 serial. See, it's a different version. Whatever.
I'm hungry.
The other one says season. The Invasion.
For the rest
I'll have some cereal when I get to work.
Yes.
That's with an S. Yeah. With an S, though, not with a C. I bought this replica on eBay about 8 years ago. It's been at my home since then. The helmet is in pretty much perfect condition.
Well, why does anyone want to keep it?
Maybe he wants some money. There is a very small, spall patch on one of the handlebar parts where the paint has rubbed off, but nothing that a small tester pot of silver paint couldn't fix.
Yeah.
The helmet has a panel on the back, which can be unscrewed, but I wouldn't recommend wearing it.
That's what she said.
It's made of fiberglass and looks like it would be very uncomfortable to wear. Helmets like this come up very rarely. If you have any questions, please email me. I can post or you can collect in person in central London.
What style is it?
It's Invasion.
The Invasion?
Yeah, Invasion.
Are you sure there? Does it look like one?
Well, he says it does, so we'll have to accept that that's probably the case.
Isn't there a picture?
A what? Yeah, it's a picture. Yeah. It looks like it does, from the picture, look like an Invasion one. But I'm not going to...
Okay, then.
I can't get pedantic on that one because I can't confirm.
Except it was 1968, wasn't it?
It was. The first of the sort of, you know, when the Cybermen started modern, I suppose you call it.
It looks more like Revenge of the Cybermen style. That's the next Cybermen one after.
Indeed. Right, that's about it then. Next episode, of course, we're going to be looking at is the Planet of the Ood.
Now, but we don't know when we're getting.
We don't know when, indeed, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to record on Sunday evening. And if I can't record on Sunday evening, it means we won't be having an episode for 2 weeks. First time that's ever happened. Yeah.
Lose listeners.
You reckon?
No.
Not as many as I've lost.
Oh, be quiet, Reese. We all love Reese, don't we, everybody?
Yeah.
We have to admit it. Magic. Where's he gone? So. Magic! Oh, well, Magic obviously doesn't love Reese. Well, most of us. Most of us love Reese. I'm sure there was something on Facebook, before it's too late.
Yes, somebody was mentioning about your bias against.
Oh, yes.
My bias?
Yes.
It's not a bias against. I listen to the Doctor Who podcast. I was not biased against it.
They thought maybe you were having a bit of a too much of a go at them.
Oh, too much of a go at them. All right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, when they stop having too much of a go at RTD, we might stop.
Well, it's not so much. It's just I haven't got a problem with having a go at RTD. It's the fact that they
seem to be biased.
Just think that Moffat can do no wrong. That he is God in the world of Doctor Who,
I've got no problem with people enjoying Moffat's era of Doctor Who and enjoying his writing, but whenever they praise him, they always have to. They feel like they have to turn around and say, "Much better than when RTD did this or this."
Or you can say about the RTD era, it wasn't perfect, but there was some brilliant stuff in there. Same as Moffat, perfect, but brilliant stuff in there. I think people, especially the Doctor Who podcast and people like them, when they're so against RTD, you know, when you get episodes like Partners in Crime and Midnight, which are superb, you know,
yes,
he is a bloody good writer. You know, it's no getting away from it. And the same with Moffat, because there's some fantastic stuff even since he took over the reins, you like. You know, there's some couple of duffers that he's done, but mostly really, really good. So it's just that I find it a bit annoying when people, you know, just go too much in the he can't do wrong sort of areas. You know, it's a bit, and you know, saying that
but it was RTD Dave Hingley. So
sorry,
Dave Hingley was the one who
can't we all just get along? Yeah, he said, I'm not criticising that much. I was just praising Trev for, you know, for being, you know, sensible on
praise
the podcast, because he was
yes,
he balanced things out quite well.
Yes,
yeah. So I mean, I just wish that he'd been more involved in the conversation that Tom and James are having on the episode that annoyed me.
Mind you, I do have to admit his opinions of James Bond films seem a bit odd. I like that some of the ones he doesn't like.
I like some of the episodes of Doctor Who that he doesn't like, and vice versa. But I'm not saying. I have to say, Doctor Who podcast, Moffat can do wrong, and occasionally, and fairly occasionally, does. But on the whole, you know, it's okay. I'm not going down the road of Ben, who, you know, basically says every single thing that Moffat does is rubbish. That's just silly.
The antithesis of the Doctor Who podcast.
He does. Well, I wish occasionally that Moffat would write, you know, with, as a pseudonym.
Sometimes he says, that's all right.
Yeah, so we can assess his stories.
Yeah, I agree. There, rather than the bias of Moffat.
Just for a little while, and then get the stories out there, get people's opinions coming, and then admit that it was him.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
I agree.
And just see if that would change certain people's opinions. Well,
he'd have to stop using paradoxes, because people would be able to tell it's him if it's a paradox in there.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I like about Moffat stories is the timey-wimeyness of them. I do like timey-wimeyness.
Yeah.
But I do, when it gets a little bit too complicated and it contradicts itself, you know, like
as you were saying at work, where people are saying, "Oh, it's this story about or whatever."
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Yeah.
It got too confusing, and the bit that they didn't like Matt Smith that much. Things like that. Too much of a change, I think. It just changed too much in one episode from in styles. I think a gradual change probably would have been okay. But I still liked it. I think 11th Hour, again, it's a Moffat story. And even Ben, I think likes that. You know, it's fantastic. Yes. I
love the Big Bang and Pandora Opens. They're brilliant episodes.
Yeah, and I like, unlike some people, The Impossible Astronaut and Day of the Moon.
Yeah,
some people hate that. Yeah, so
each their own.
I'd say that for me, even though I enjoyed The Angels Take Manhattan, it wasn't his best.
I love The Muppets Take Manhattan,
but there's some really, really good bits in it that make it worth watching.
Well, the thing that really got my back up wasn't just about the Doctor Who podcast, but it was even Staggering Stories in Moffat's first year as showrunner, were saying, well, it's clear that he's gone over the other people's stories are written in wonderful dialogue. And I was just sitting here thinking, no, these people are trained professionals. They can write
good stuff. They're perfectly capable of writing their own dialogue. I should imagine that he might have asked them to write certain bits.
Yes,
but, you know, it's like that little thing you were talking about last week, the storyboard bit. That was written by Chris Chibnall, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was excellent.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And people would probably assume that would have been written by Moffat because it was it tied in more to the Moffat episode.
I was surprised when I saw his name on the credits saying it was Chibnall. I thought, wow, it's like he was sitting there with Stephen as he was writing The Angels Take Manhattan. It ties in perfectly.
Exactly. Mm. But no, that is silly because they're all good writers and they're all perfectly capable of writing dialogue like that. I mean, the perfect example of that is The Girl Who Waited.
Which
is a work of art, dialogue-wise, story-wise.
Especially after Tom McRae's previous story, which was okay, but nothing special.
Yeah.
The Cybermen two-parter.
Indeed. And also, going back to Cybermen, I was, because obviously I listened to the Bigger on the Inside podcast, and they've just reviewed the Cybermen two-parter and hate it. I can't remember what we thought of it when we did it as anything, but they
it was all right.
Actually hated it.
It was all right.
Yeah. I think that's how. Yeah. So I'd sort of go. I wouldn't say I hated it, but I'd go along that it wasn't one of the best stories. But they've just done on their most recent episodes two episodes that they completely detested and really slated into RTD. And I can't remember which they were now. I'll have to. What series are we on? They're on Roses. Last year. So they would have done the Idiot's Lantern and they slated Idiot's Lantern, said it was absolutely awful. Now what was after Idiot's Lantern? That was
not bad.
It was okay, some stupid bits in it. But it wasn't as bad as they think it was. But the one after that I believe was the one Satan Pit.
The Impossible Planet. Yeah.
Impossible Planet and Save Pit, which they think is superb. So good, because
I love that. Very Doctor Who as well.
Indeed.
Bit Johnny Cadden on that time when we did it.
Yeah. We scared him off because he won't come back. Anyway, I've got to get on.
He said to me that he wouldn't mind coming back.
Yeah, he nearly did once, and then something happened, and we missed each other, and then ever since then I've sort of tried to ask him if he'd like to come back on. He sort of dodged the question. I mean, every message I've sent him on Facebook or on Skype or whatever, he sort of not answered. So he did
who
once.
Who is this?
Once
I missed who you said.
Johnny Cadden.
Oh yes.
Yes. Yeah. So, Bish, I'm a bit worried about getting back on.
You know what I've done this past week? I've been going through the Lost in Time box set. You know the ones to the orphaned episodes.
Oh yes.
Which set?
The Daleks, Power, Lost in Time. It's a 3 DVD set.
Oh, okay, yeah. I've got those somewhere.
Very, very good stuff. I love watching it.
Yeah. So back to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. In answer to Dave Hingley, no, I haven't got a beef with the Doctor Who podcast in general, just a certain part of the episode I was listening to when I posted the original comment. I'm just glad that Trevor was on there to rescue the situation. Yes.
Did you see the last comment there from Alan Butcher? No. He said, no, it's war.
Good timing, Magic.
Good boy,
yes,
Magic.
Kill!
Back him up then, Star. All right, you can stop killing her now. Be quiet. Shush! I think he's had enough. Yeah, no, it's war. Well, the thing is, the Doctor Who podcast have said absolutely nothing because they're not interested in this shit. So there you go. And Kirby Bartlett Sloan, another subtitle error. Yeah, so we saw that.
That was strange.
Yes. Dinos Daniel says, I now have a new favourite companion after watching Vengeance on Varys. Perry is my new favourite for two very, very good reasons.
Have you seen the Nicholas Noakes page?
Did you post on there about Nicholas Noakes? I don't think anybody's on that page anymore. What else has he put on there? Oh, something about Hello Whovians. Check this out.
That's a deal for Australians to go to Gallifrey next. There's something, package deal or
something from me that says our correspondence section is going to be very quick this week, but we did get some in the end. And listeners, if you want to send in such correspondences, emails, etc., etc., please send them in to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. I've got 2 weeks to send them in, unless something happens and I can actually record on Sunday evening. Yes, that's about it, really, isn't it? What?
What am I going to do with no recording?
Get some sleep.
You can sleep in, Kirby. Sleep.
You'll bet you'll probably wake up anyway.
If we record on a Sunday, you're the one who has to worry about sleeping.
Yes. Oh, well.
Oh, well,
indeed. I'm willing to do that.
Yes.
So, until whenever, because I can't say next week.
Until next episode.
Until the next episode.
Not bad this week, really.
Yeah. Isn't it? It's goodbye. Goodbye.
It's goodbye for him.
Goodbye.
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 Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended. I did it!